Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's NOOM.com to sign up for your trial today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from Pitchers.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is May 18th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. You should be going to YouTube.com/Pitchers. Why? Because I'm about to, with chat here on Twitch, cover all, not just one inning, not two innings, all of Matthew Liberatore's MLB, 2023 MLB debut on video, going over every single pitch, breaking it down. I do these every single weekday morning. You got to check it out. Sub to that channel. We're trying to get to 10,000 subs this year, so you can help massively. So go to youtube.com/pitchwest. Watch that video. It is awesome. Do it at double speed if you want. It's fun. Anyway, we're going to look at yesterday's games and, of course, streaming options for today and tomorrow. So we'll start with Sonny Gray. Terrible SP roundup title, Sonny Boo Boo, as he messed up 4 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks. Honestly, I remember Baby's Day Out, and anyone who understands why I'm bringing that up right now, you are fantastic. Sonny Gray, what is going on? Last 3 starts have been weird. 2 of them have actually been negative for your fantasy teams, including this one. 1 in between that he did all right, but even in that start, it wasn't quite Sonny Gray that we wanted it to be. Let me explain. Sonny Gray this year, his curveball has been dominant, and also that slider slash sleeper has been much better than it has been in the past. However, last 3 starts, really not there with the curveball. In this one, it wasn't very effective. The pitch in the last one only was thrown 8 times. That is, curveballs 8 in the last start, which means he wasn't really having his success with that pitch. And without Sonny Gray killing it with his breakers, I don't really buy his success. So it's kind of weird right now. I feel like Sonny Gray isn't the pitcher that we want him to be at the moment. And I don't know if it's going to come back. We have seen a volatility in the past from Sonny Gray. And we've seen him have these peaks and valleys. We're in one right now in a valley, but it could come back just next start or so. The point of the matter here is that Sonny Gray should not be trusted to have his April performance through the entire season. And if he does go on another hot stretch again, I'm saying this to be proactive, saying, look, I don't think that is going to stick. If it does. So it might be a situation that you hold right now, wait for about 2 starts of him getting it back, and then you can sell. Because people say, oh no, this is really just not, people think, oh, he just had his valley, now he's back to normal. It's like, no, you know better. Chris Bassett and Garrett Cole went against each other in a fantastic game. This whole series has been so good with the Yankees and Jays. There was I saw a image, I don't know who was saying it, but saying, are the Jays now the biggest rival for the Yankees in the AL East? And I'll be honest with you, a little bit it feels like that, because the Red Sox and Yankees don't hate each other these days. It's not like how it used to be at all. While these Jays series have been so fantastic, I really want it to be Red Sox-Yankees though again. But this one, both of them, Chris Bassett, Garrett Cole, went shutout frames here, 13 between them, 7 for Bassett, 6 for Cole. It's wonderful. You keep starting both of them. Chris Bassett has completely removed himself from that first terrible, I mean horrific, start to the season. It's why April performances are not the least sticky of all. And now, yeah, you just keep starting Chris Bassett. Same with Garrett Cole. The slider is coming back. Good locations in this one. I believe it had a 30-plus CSW on it. Had about 6 whiffs. Good stuff. You keep starting both of them and don't think about it. Rich Hill went against the Tigers and he got the gold star for giving you 7 strikeouts, 0 runs, 3 base runners in 6 innings with the win. I mean, it's not that I didn't see that he could do this. It was more of just, wow, he executed much better than you really would think. He gets Texas next. So Rich Hill is a rare streamer against those weak opponents, and that's it. Ryan Nelson came through against the Athletics, 5.1 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit. You're thinking, yeah, and of course it was the Athletics. Of course that's going to work. 4 walks, 6 Ks, and Ryan Nelson still does not have his curveball and his slider. I don't like that. I'm not a fan of Ryan Nelson right now because he does not have those breakers. Josh Fleming against the Mets actually started. No opener. Fleming's like, I get the ball? Now? You want me to prepare an hour before the game? He came through. 5.1 innings, 0 earned runs, 1 hit, 4. I'm quoting Ryan Nelson. 5 innings, 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 2 Ks. That's nice for Fleming. You don't want to do this. Cool? Cool. Matthew Liberatore. I'm going to watch him all with Twitch chat. It's going to be wonderful. The quickie here is, I mean, oh man, I'm so sorry to use that phrase. 5 innings, 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, 6 Ks. I think he has a really good curveball. It's fantastic. The fastball was at 95 overall, sat, you know, hit 97, 98 in the first. The 97.6 was the max. And then it came down, as it often does in a season debut or really a big prospect promotion for a guy. I don't love the fact that the slider isn't a big deal. You know, just 5 thrown and 20% strikes for that slider. It does make me worry a little bit about Liberatore, but I think you got to add him as a spec add at the moment. He does get Cincy next, and that could be dangerous. This one was against the Brewers. And that's a much more ease. That's a great ease into the season. I think the fastball velocity comes down. I think it's a little bit of a trap play against the Reds in Cincinnati, but I think you still have to add him and hope that things get better or that he does well for you. I think that's what you got to do. Don't throw a ton of fab at him is my point. It's a 6-man rotation for the Cardinals right now. I think they're going to do that for a couple of weeks and then something will break, likely Steven Matz. Carlos Hernandez opened and it was just a full bullpen game because Kansas City wanted Daniel Lynch to get extra starts in the minors. Daniel Lynch should be back over the weekend and I just don't really care. Dustin May, I'm so sad about this. He left with elbow discomfort and he's expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. Really quickly on this, that's a third of your season if it's 6 weeks. Could be even more than that if you have fantasy playoffs before the end of the season, right? Don't hold on too long here, especially if you have guys who should be on the IL and you're taking up a roster spot. Because keep in mind, let's say it's 6 weeks and then it's going to be like 2 or 3 starts to ramp up so that's actually productive for you. That's really frustrating. The good news, silver lining, is that Bobby Miller may be coming up more aggressively. I would imagine Gavin Stone gets the first opportunity in a 5-man now to take this spot. But Bobby Miller just had a good start last night. 6 innings, 6 Ks, 1 earned run, was sitting 99 to 100 miles per hour in the four-seamer. I wanted to see a little bit more from the curveball, but he did pretty well. Probably one more for Bobby Miller, and then he's up. That's what I think happens, and you want to make sure he's on your roster. Kyle Bradish against the Angels, 6.2 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 5 strikeouts. I'm glad it worked out for him. 7 out of 35 whiffs on the slider. The curve came through for 71% strikes, and there you go. That's why this worked. Can I bank on that happening all the time for Kyle Bradish? No! I still hate that fastball. Too much cut action. I think it's too hittable. Sorry. He gets the Mets and it's the Rangers. How do we feel about the Mets offense right now? I don't know. Do whatever you want to do. I'm not going to do it. We have some very interesting ones to talk about. Drew Smiley, Kodai Senga, Brian Bale, but 19 whiffs? We're going to talk about all of those and more after this break.
When it comes to weight management, we tend to put our focus on what we eat. But Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. And that's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization so you can manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. And they help you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have those cravings. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. And based on a sample of 4,272 Noomers, 98% say Noom helps change their habits and behaviors for good. Try Noom today and see the results for yourself. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Drew Smyly is executing the Blake Snell blueprint and did well against the Astros. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts. 48% CSW on that curveball. That's what you want to see. And now he gets a Mets, Rays, and Padres. Oh, gosh. He just did it against the Astros. But, man, it's hard. It's really difficult being a Drew Smyly manager just because you feel like it's a Vargas rule. And do you just tough it out? Do you play it based on matchups? I don't know. I really don't. Kodai Senga against the Rays is a cherry bomb. And it's 6 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 3 walks, 12 Ks. It's about dang time. We saw the cherry. The forkball went 8 for 26 whiffs. I can say sentences, right? The real story, though, is not really that fork. It's the four-seamer, cutter, and slider all performing well. They did good things in this start. And everything was down and in glove side. Now, not everything. That's when he executed. When he didn't, it was scatterplot outside of the zone. Fine. But I will say, Kodai Senga is still a cherry bomb. And now he gets the Cubs, and then Coors, and then the Jays. So, no, I don't want to chase this. I'm really happy. If you happen to go with Senga, great. Wonderful news. PLBot, believe it or not, PLBot, our appeal pro projection system that does it daily and weekly, had it as a number one play yesterday. It knew something we all didn't. It's kind of awesome. I mean, it's why I kind of love PLBot, because I recognize very much that my picks and its picks are very different. However, it's only one behind in the streaming battle between us. And it's because it's seeing things that I'm not. It's really fun, and you only get that with PL Pro. So it's another very interesting differentiator, especially for DFS. Go check that out. And I believe we have a promo code for podcast, all caps, PODCAST, to get a hefty discount on PL Pro yearly if you are interested. Brian Bayo against the Mariners, 5 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 5 walks, 7 Ks, 19 whiffs. A gallows pole. I think 3 guys had 19 whiffs yesterday. This is what's weird about this one for me, unfortunately. Like, you would think, oh, he's got the whiffs. That means the slider and the changeup are the thing. No, it was the sinker. He was down a lot with it. And if you remember, with sinkers, if you're missing bats, it's because you're missing underneath it. So it's good it's getting enough of that drop to get those whiffs. 9 whiffs, 41% CSW. 3 more even on the four-seamer as he changed eye level. But I don't think that's sustainable, unfortunately. I wish it were, but I don't think that is. And the slider was 8 for 19 strikes, which is not, I ain't going to do it. So I don't want to start him against the Angels next, unfortunately. Sorry, Bayo. I want to believe, I just can't. Mike Clevinger has a really nice schedule, and guess what? He got you a win yesterday. Sure, it was 10 base runners in 6 innings, 2 runs against the Guardians, 5 Ks. He'll get the Guardians a second time, and then he'll get the Tigers twice. Like, I feel as if that's going to go 2/3 productive for you. It could go 2/3 harmful, but there's your deep streaming option in Mike Clevinger. The cutter is kind of being okay now, so it's not really a two-pitch pitcher, but nothing is elite there, which is really frustrating. Edward Cabrera earned the King Cole, if you can believe it. 35% CSW yesterday against the Nationals. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. Yes, 0 walks. He had 67% strikes on his fastball. Not 50%, 67%. That's a huge deal. 2/3 curves and changeups worked well. This is the best version of Cabrera. Problem is, he gets Coors next. And I can't trust that he's going to do this every time. So I'm really sorry, Edward Cabrera. You were 1 whiff away from a golden goal. He's still a cherry bomb. That's going to be a questionable start against Coors. Nathan Eovaldi, yeah, we knew it wouldn't be a scoreless streak forever against Atlanta. 7 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. He gets Pittsburgh and Detroit next. So, yeah, things are good. Corbin Burns, ace is going to ace-ish. It's a very poor quality start against the Cardinals, 7 Ks. But 8 hits in 1 walk, like, he got singled out here. The curve is looking good, and that's really the thing to me. The cutter's been good. It's about the secondaries of the slider and the curveball looking good. Those are doing good things. Things are fine. Luis Medina, once again, got a poor quality start. Good job. Got it against the Arizona Diamondbacks, 6 innings, 3 earned runs. That's the definition of a poor quality start. Only 5 base runners, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. He has 2% swing strike rate on his four-seamer. If you're asking why it's different from Baseball Savant, it's because it does not include foul tips. It's so strange. So strange. I just don't buy it that like is fastball and slider combo is enough. I mean, the changeup and curve went 2-for-18 CSW. I just don't want to do it. Yeah, it's just wild. I mean, like he throws enough strikes with the fastballs, I guess, and like the slider's okay, and then maybe he can make it work. But no, Griffin Canning against the Orioles was very close to a very, very, very poor quality start, which is 11 base runners in 6 innings and 3 earned runs. It was 5.1 innings, but yeah, 3 earned runs and 11 base runners, 4 Ks. He throws too many fastballs, and I'm not saying that he should just cut back from 45% to 25%. If he's going to do that, that means the other 20% needs to be productive secondaries, and those haven't been productive. So I understand why he's doing it. I think it's just an indication like, hey, if he's going 25% fastballs in the future, that means that the secondaries are good enough to allow him to do it. Right now, they're not doing that, so it's a frozen banana. Ross Stripling against the Phillies, 3.1 innings, 3 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks, 50 pitches. I mean, it's just, okay, no, we're not doing that. Yu Darvish against the Royals, 5.1 innings, 4 earned runs. Man, Darvish does whatever he does. It doesn't matter who he's facing, he just does the thing. 34% sweepers and 16% sliders, which adds up to 50% of those breakers. But the heater and the cutter combine for 1 out of 21 CSW. It's just so frustrating. I want him to do exactly that with his cutter and his slider and his sweeper. But the fastball and the cutter need to be better. Just be better. Mackenzie Gore against the Marlins did not come through the way you wanted to. Sure, 7 strikeouts in 5.1 innings, but 4 earned runs, 5 hits with 2 walks. The fastball and curve combination isn't quite there yet. I need to see a secondary pitch really soar. The curveball's not quite doing it. It's going to take a little bit for, I think, him to find his footing and really nail down the repertoire, which is fine. What I really like for Mackenzie Gore is that he has the opportunity to tinker as much as he wants through the season. So I'm excited to see how he develops. But as far as right now for your fantasy teams, I think it's going to be a lot of stumbling. There will be some wonderful moments, don't get me wrong, but for consistency, it's not quite there yet. Spencer Strider against the Rangers, 5.0 innings. I don't know why I'm saying it like that. 5 innings, 4 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, 7 Ks, 19 whiffs for a Gallows pull. This is what happens when you put him up to SP2 on the list, Nick. He got the Rangers, whatever, everything's fine. He should have thrown better sliders and changeups. Eduardo Rodriguez, oh no. The regression hit, 4 earned runs in 5 innings, 6 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks against the Pirates. Look, the cutter was not good. That was everything for him. That was why he was doing so well. And the cutter was 12% CSW, but don't worry, it's the Royals and the White Sox twice. I know it was just the Pirates, but he'll be better. We're not out on Eduardo Rodriguez all of a sudden. Remember, everyone was saying like, oh, he's an SP30 now or something like that. Yeah, okay. Tymon Walker against the Giants. What do you know? Had a really tough first inning, 40 pitches and only 2 outs. 4 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 1 strikeout. How am I going to butter my bread with this? I mean, it was 0.2 innings. 40% splitter usage and 0 for 15 whiffs with 13% CSW. There you go. Like, splitters are volatile. What do you know? Peyton Battifield against the White Sox, 4.1 innings, 5 earned runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks. But against the White Sox, yeah, Battifield isn't someone you really want to be streaming. Austin Gomber in Coors against the Reds, duh, no. Same with Ashcraft on the other side. It was Coors. Do not overvalue this start and now you move on. That doesn't make sense to me. You should have moved on before this if you were going to move on from Ashcraft. If you didn't, that means that you want to hold on past it. So what's also really weird is he threw 80 pitches and didn't throw a single sinker. While Coors is kind of the place you would want to throw sinkers, because that's generally the fly ball prevention pitch, so the ball doesn't carry as much. It's very strange. But anyway, Graham Ashcraft, I feel like he's going to have some good stretch soon, and then you can sell him. Marco Gonzalez against the Red Sox. Yeah, that was just one start against the Tigers. We didn't want to do this one. And JP France, 6 earned runs and 3.2 innings. Very disappointing. It was against the Cubs. It's all right. He'll be better. He gets the Brewers next. You hold on to that. It's fine. He had 9 hits. He got singled out a bit. I mean, sure, 3 home runs also. Not going to be the story forever for JP France. Looking forward to today's games. We have very few of them. Only 6 games. Julio Urias and Cesar clear auto starts. Yuri Perez gets the Nationals. Can't wait for that one. Logan Allen against the White Sox should be good. Tyler Wells goes against Tyler Anderson. Coin flip, who does better there? I know Wells just got a lot of whiffs, but it was the Pirates, and now he gets the Angels. Well, if Tyler Anderson has his good changeup inside of Camden, that could go well. I don't want to start Nestor Cortez against the Jays. He hasn't had his slider, and the Jays are really scary. Taj Bradley is making his return to the majors today in Citi Field against the Mets. I hope it works out. I think we just wait and see, but you definitely want to spec Adam if he's still out on the waiver wire now. And Trevor Williams is my very reluctant stream pick of the day, but I get that this could work against the Marlins. They don't even have Jazz Chisholm on that team. And the do not start tier, Jose Berríos against the Yankees is just too volatile. Adam Wainwright against the Dodgers is not enough of a ceiling, and Tyler McGill is nothing that he used to be as he gets the Rays. Looking forward to tomorrow's games. Shane McClanahan got bounced to tomorrow with the Taj Bradley thing. Zach Gallen, Joe Ryan, Sandy Alcantara, obviously all auto starts. Probable start tier isn't as good as it normally is, with all of these being riskier than we want. Bryce Miller against Atlanta. Marcus Stroman just got blown up, and he gets the Phillies. Anthony Descafani hasn't had his command last two starts, but it's the Marlins. James Paxton is actually the streaming pick of the day, believe it or not. I really loved what he did his first start. The Padres are very odd, so I'm going for this one. Reed Detmers against the Twins. I don't really know what's going to happen there, but I'm just going to say if you have him, you start him. Same with Blake Snell against the Red Sox. Martin Perez is a Toby against Rocky Road, but he hasn't been as sharp. And Tony Gonsolin gets the hot Cardinals offense without his splitter. All of this is like, if you have them, I'm starting them. It's my least confident probable start tier in a long time. Questionable start tier, you could say that Bryce Elder belongs in that second one. I just don't really buy what he does, as it's sub 90 miles per hour fastballs, and the slider isn't really that great. The Mariners could mess him up, but maybe you want to say he goes into the bottom of that probable start tier. That's fine with me. But everything else is like defiantly questionable start. Brandon Bilak, Cal Quantrill, Zach Greinke, all of those are just like Tobys and weird matchups. And then you have Johan Oviedo, Yusei Kikuchi, and Michael Kopech as cherry bombs. Oh boy. Not fun stuff for me. Do not start tier is Carlos Carrasco, Matthew Boyd, Kyle Gibson, Jake Irvin, all your normal people. I just don't want to start any of them. Kyle Gibson gets the Jays, otherwise he'd be in that questionable start tier with all the Tobys. Matthew Boyd, we're just waiting for the slider whiffs to return. Still ill for Carlos Carrasco. Clark Schmidt gets the Reds in Cincinnati. No thank you. Ken Waldachuk, Ranger Suarez, Adrian Hauser, Steven Matz, Ben Lively, and Carl Kaufman. Who is Carl Kaufman? He might be making his debut for the Rockies tomorrow. He has a sub 20% strikeout rate and sub 10% swing strike rate, and he pitches for the Rockies against Texas. I mean, absolutely not. Oh my gosh. But all right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for the support of this. Don't forget to go to that YouTube channel and check out the pitch video breakdowns I do, watching the games with you and talking about sequencing and what they do and actually showing you what to look for when you watch a baseball game. It makes the game so much better. We're going to cover all of Matthew Liberatore's start today, but that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.